Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. Rise up everybody and burn down the system, fails the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 4. We've got a full month under our belts as of tonight, and we have a show to bring you this evening. We have two fantastic guests, H. David Blaylock, author, resident wizard, and founder of a Magicopter. And we also have the awesome Sharon Stogner of I Smell Sheep, and she'll be talking a little bit about her new editing services in a little while. But first, I want to give you just a little update from the Seventh Star Press front. First of all, tonight at some point, the new ebook for Eric Garrison's Sinking Down, Book 2 of the Road Ghost Trilogy, will go live. It's in the systems, and we're just waiting for it to go live right now. And Eric was, of course, a recent guest on the show, and it's a really, really good paranormal urban fantasy book. And then also, Friday, we're going to be doing a cover reveal, and the ebook will go live for Jackie Gamber's third in her Leland Dragons trilogy, YA Fantasy, Reclamation. And so that's going to be a really big day and launch a great conclusion to a great trilogy. So we've got quite a bit going on. And, of course, on the Imaginarium front, we are going to be unleashing the film festival and the art show. That will be opening up in the first week of January. So those of you that are filmmakers and artists, stay tuned for that. And then, as always, we want to thank Andy Haught and the guys from Zero King for giving us our great intro music. It always gets us off on the right start. So, anyway, tonight we've got all five of us are here. Selah, and I got that right tonight, Michael, Alex, and Susan. So hey, guys, let's get this underway. I think Michael even has a Hobbit report for us.
Oh, yes, I saw The Hobbit over the weekend, and for those who were less than thrilled with the first film, this one hits the ground running and never really stops. If you're an arachnophobe, you might want to get there about half an hour late into the film, because I was a little twitchy there for the first half hour. Kept squirming around in my seat, but the effects are amazing. And smog is just truly, truly incredible to behold.
Awesome. How far, like, at what point does it cut off, like, in the book? Because that was one thing that I couldn't figure out. Well, I just couldn't figure out, like, what are they leaving for the third movie, I guess, is what has confused me the whole time.
Well, a lot of the third movie, some of the things that they put into the first two movies have been from the appendices.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think the third movie is going to the third movie is supposed to be a bridge between the Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I think they're also going to go much more into the war between all the nations okay. after everything is done.
See, the thing I really want, and this is a, people get so mad at me for saying this, but I think Peter Jackson just needs to make like a 47 movie series of The Silmarillion so that it's just there and people can refer to it, because I've tried so many times to read that and it just, I can't. But that's all I want, like a 50 movie series of The Silmarillion.
And that was one of the things why he wanted to do, you know, put some of the appendices on film, is because
yeah.
there's a lot of neat information in there, but it's like, you know, it's almost
yeah.
reading like that, and I forget, you know, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I forget which book it is, where it's just like the whole lineage, mm-hmm. where the whole thing
yeah.
is just so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of that in the appendices.
Okay, yeah. Well, I know, like, watching the extended versions of the, I mean, the Lord of the Rings series, I mean, that they added a lot for that, too. I mean, you really didn't realize how much they edited out until the extended versions came out, and some of it was good, and some I was sad they didn't put in the actual movies, but oh well. But that sounds great. Like, I'm really excited to see it. I don't know when I will get to see it, but I'm excited.
And wood elves are badass.
Awesome. I love elves, so that's really cool. What was your favorite part? Just like hands down best part for you?
Best part for me was the barrel escape.
Okay. Very cool. I'm trying to think. It's been a few years since I've read the book, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But that's you know, a long extended sequence, but it's just, you're just sitting there and there's just so much going on around you, and especially if you see it in IMAX, and you know, it fills your whole field of vision.
Nice.
You know, it, you know, with the whole, you know, surround sound and everything, it's just so, so cool. Especially, you know, it's IMAX 3D, so it's, and he shot it, he actually filmed it in 3D using James Cameron's process from Avatar, so it doesn't feel like a color form set or whatnot, you know, or
mm-hmm.
a pop-up
yeah.
book the way some 3D movies, you can tell it's just, you know, all they did was layer it, and this doesn't feel that way at all. I mean, it feels really organic.
That sounds really cool. I'm glad to hear it, because like you said, so often with some movies, it's almost like a violation the way they do the 3D technology, but it's good that doesn't seem to interfere with this one.
Right. And then, you know, I am curious to see, you know, how, because it was funny, because I told my son before we went to see it, I said, you want to know where they're going to cut it off? And he goes, where do you think they'll cut it off? And I told him, and they cut it off exactly where I told him they were. He was so mad.
That's awesome.
He was...
You'll have to message, because I want to know, but I don't want to spoil it for people, so you'll have to message me and tell me, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be definitely touching base with you on that, because I have to confess I still haven't seen it yet myself. But you know, definitely want to see that as soon as possible. But
I thought you would have been in line first thing, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm having a weird year. But anyway, we do have a wizard among us now. Mr.
Uh-oh.
Blaylock has arrived. I'm very, very excited about having him coming aboard with us, because, I mean, he's one of the greatest guys that I've known in the indie publishing world and small press world and convention circuit. And, of course, he's got a great series of 7-Star Press, the Angel Killer Triad, and then also just in a brilliant series that's kind of epic scale fantasy, the Thran Chronicles, that's with Samsdot Publishing, and of course Tyree Campbell. So another great character on the convention circuit. But David is also, in addition to everything else he has a great organization called the Magicopter. And so without further ado, we'd like to welcome David Blaylock to the Star Chamber Show. David, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good to hear from you. Thanks for getting
Wonderful.
Me a chance to connect with people there.
Well, I turn you over to the Wolf Pack here, we do have one small item of business. You had a big contest for hitting over to commemorate over 10,000 likes on your Facebook page with the Angel Killer Triad contest, and you had had people answer some questions about the series and try to guess get some things right, and we do have three winners to announce, and David's requested for me to announce the winners on the air. Each of you will be receiving a $25 Amazon gift card, and the three winners of the Angel Killer giveaway are, drum roll please, James Hamilton. Well, we need that in the sound cue sometime here, but we got James Hamilton, Robin Blankenship. Very happy to hear that one. And, of course, the legendary Eric Garrison, recent guest and author whose book Sinking Down is available as of tonight, as a matter of fact. But Eric tops it off with winning a gift card. So there's the winners, and so I've done my part. So David, I'm throwing you to the Wolf Pack here. Beware.
Well, I appreciate that for sure. we had three people who were able to guess two out of the six possibilities, so we're going to be giving them the $25 gift cards, and I hope that after everybody's read the last in the Angel Killer Triad, the Doom Angel, they will see who the other people actually were. I'm looking forward to seeing Doom Angel come out in print pretty soon there, Stephen, and I'm sure that the people at I Smell Sheep will get a kick out of it, I hope, too.
Well, I know we can't wait for it. As a matter of fact, with your book, Angel Killer, that is a book that I do speak highly of amongst to my friends and other people who go onto my Goodreads page. I do want to ask a few questions to you, David, and even though I know the answers already, I'm going to act like I don't know the answers whatsoever.
Right.
I would, of course, like to speak with you first about a Magicopter and then also speak with you about your writing. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
Great. All right. Well, pretty much, a Magicopter has really changed my life as an author. It's opened up doors so I can know about events and also conventions that could be in my area. And I would just like for you to explain to someone who doesn't know what a Magicopter is tonight.
Okay, well, a Magicopter is a network that was set up back in 2009 as more or less a way for connecting writers and artists with venues that they might not otherwise be able to be exposed to. The idea being that the more people you have, the more likely you are to be able to find a place where you can showcase your work, and also hopefully as a cooperative, when a person is part of a convention, they can help showcase the work of the other people in a Magicopter at their table. At every convention that I go to, I try to carry material from as many of the writers that I think would be pertinent to that convention that might get some interest, like bookmarks or cards or even book covers. Jennifer Mulvihill actually came up with a marvelous idea of dry boarding covers instead of actually carrying the copies of the books, which is much easier to handle, and displaying them so that people can get a chance to look at the front cover and the back copy of each of the books to see if they might be interested. We had been working on a way to connect people with the online booksellers, and we're still working on that. But the idea basically is that everybody gets a chance to participate with everybody else's work because, let's face it, as small press or medium press writers and artists, you want to get as much of an audience as you can, but it's difficult to do, especially since none of us have deep pockets. What we try to do at a Magicopter is set up venues that are within like a day trip of wherever you are, or to give you the opportunity to go to showcase your work and get home the same day so you don't have to spend money for a hotel or whatever. Or if you're going to spend time at a convention, give you a chance to actually connect with the convention people so that you can be in panels, you can showcase your work in the vendors room and that kind of thing. The idea basically is promotion, but since we don't accept money and we don't give anybody money, it just has to be an information network, and that's about what it amounts to.
Yeah, social networking and word of mouth, it's truly done wonders over the past few years. And, of course, there is the website, www.imagicopter.com, and you do also have a Facebook fan page for it. And I noticed on your fan page you do frequently post information on artists and authors as they have events coming up so people can stay in the loop. And
everybody to become involved in that as well. The Imagicopter people, we try to get them to become involved in the site and in the Facebook page. We do have several people in Imagicopter who do their own posts, and they're welcome to do so on the Imagicopter Facebook page. We look forward to seeing as much information as we can about everybody so we can throw our support their way.
Yes, yes. And it's just an absolutely wonderful entity that you have created here, and I don't think that I can thank you enough for that, as well as other individuals who are on this podcast as well.
I don't think all the credit goes to me. My daughter Erica Raymer. Does most of the work on my end, and then
Erica
Dennis
is
Baldwin
a hard worker,
and Alexander Brown do a marvelous job as well. So it's a cooperative effort.
You know the saying, there's no I in team.
That's true.
Now, I would like to start asking you about your work. Now, being someone who I have accepted stories from for the Southern Haunts books, and also at the same time reading your stories not from an editorial perspective, but as a reader perspective, one thing that I really admire about you is your ability to be diverse, such as you do have short stories that's in the Dream of Steam books. You have a short story in Perfect Flaw, Big Bad, and the list just continues of multiple diversities of which you have talent with. Now, I was just wondering, as an author, where do you find your inspiration to be as diverse as what you are?
Well, it comes from having multiple personalities, I believe. it's a matter of pulling out the one that happens to be that good at that particular thing. I love watching people, and there's an infinite diversity in people. If you watch people and you watch how they work and you watch how they react to things and you see how things affect them, it's an interesting way of developing characters. So actually just observation more than anything else. You take the observation of what a person is doing, put a what if in there, and see maybe they would react this way. And a story
and,
can never think of that.
That is one thing I wanted to comment on as well. With the stories of yours that I have read, you have a really good combination of character development and also plot development. You don't overdo either, or it's always been just very happy. It's been enough to make the reader feel towards the character and be interested enough in the story to keep on going, unlike how some mainstream authors do, where there's too much character development or too much plot. Now, with the Anger Killer series that you're doing, what was your major inspiration for that? Was that people watching as well, or were there multiple inspirations that went into it?
Well, it's the whole thing came out of trying to answer the question of why do bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of those questions that has haunted mankind forever. We currently have quite a few people who are trying to answer that question in different ways. But I thought that perhaps looking at it from a new technology point of view would open up some new ways of looking at the answer to the question. There is a movie called Constantine, which is a marvelous movie based on a graphic novel. and of course the Matrix series, some of which are good and some of which are horrible. So if you take Constantine meets the Matrix, you kind of have Angel Killer.
Okay.
So it's that was kind of the way that I've put it together. Once in a while, if you mix two things together, you never know what's going to come out of the oven. And I think with the Angel Killer Triad, it's been a really, really good, kind of cathartic for me to get the idea of the answer of why do bad things happen to good people in front of the a larger audience, I think. And I do appreciate the response that I got from the readers from the first book to give me feedback as to what was needed for the last two books to answer the questions that they really wanted to see the answers to.
Okay. All right, great. So, like, let's say, for example, if a person was reading your book, they could enjoy it for the piece of fiction that it is, but also at the same time, it could allow them to do some personal soul searching to perhaps try to find the answer to why do bad things happen to good people. So you actually present some really good food for thought there in a fictional piece.
Well, I hope so, because to me, my work, what I try to do is to evoke an emotional response in the reader. If
mm-hmm.
the reader comes away from my work and says, wonderful, or comes away from my work and said, boy, that sucked rocks, you know, anything like that, any kind of response is what I'm looking for, because I want the reader to walk away from it either loving it, hating it, but I do not want them to walk away from it and just say, nah, there's no, they don't care.
Now, I do want to ask you a question that is work-based but also family-based. Now, your daughter, Erica Raymer, she does, of course, participate in a Magicopter as well, and she is also an author. How is it to be in a situation where you are working with a family member in the same vision that you might have, such as may it be with writing or also a Magicopter? How does that necessarily work?
Well, it's worked fine. Erica and I have always worked real well with each other. We critique each other's work, and I get a lot of good feedback from her. I hope I give good feedback. The idea being that we're not in competition with each other. We're there to, mm-hmm. to help each other out and become better writers, better artists, because in the long run, it's the expansion of our talent that we're looking forward to. And the better we are at building each other up and giving each other constructive critique, the better our end product is going to be.
What did you say? I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
Well, no, it's just saying that that's really what a Magicopter is about, too, is
okay.
Is constructive support.
Now, let me just ask this, and it's purely curiosity. I've never asked you this before, and so might as well just ask you on the spot. Do you and Erica ever plan to co-author a novel together?
No, I don't think so. I've never really worked with anybody before. I mean, I have tried, and maybe I shouldn't say never. I'm actually considering getting, making the dive into a vampire novel, which I wrote many years ago, pre-Anne Rice, where my vampires were the murdering, bloodthirsty bastards.
Yay, they don't sparkle.
No, they don't sparkle, not at all.
Yay!
The idea being that now that they have actually returned and they're not sparkly any longer in most people's idea, I think actually we'll take up the vampire motif and finish that book up, and Erica has helped me with that. So you may see a double byline for that one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay.
Well, what are some other projects that you might be working on in the near future besides the Angel Killer series? And also besides the vampire book that you just mentioned to me, are there any specific genres you might want to tap on in the near future?
Well, I've got a couple of short stories coming out with prose, pulp kind of stuff. That's coming out hopefully later this year. Well, it's almost next year, but they'll be coming out shortly, hopefully, and working on some stuff that I'm hoping will come out as mainstream literature kind of stuff, although I prefer genre. It looks like I may actually stick my toe in the mainstream, but that's going to be a long way down the road.
Okay.
Also have a short story coming out with The Martian Wave next year, which is an annual that comes out. I had a story in 2012 on Martian Wave, and J. Allen Irwin has accepted the story for mine for next year, Martian Wave.
All right. And, of course, I've already received your story for Southern Haunts Part 3, so I cannot wait to dive into that. I haven't really read a story based around witchcraft from you before, so this is something I'm extremely excited about.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. It's actually based on historical, which was a requirement in the guidelines. Yes, I do read the guidelines, and I suggest anybody who wants to do any serious writing, please read the guidelines. Make sure that you follow them, because as an editor, I can tell you, I've read some horrible stuff, and the majority of the horrible stuff that I read as an editor was stuff that nobody read the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. Coming from an editor's perspective, there has been times where the content has been good, but the way that they executed it simply not what the guidelines requested. It doesn't make them necessarily an author. It makes them more so of a content provider, and that's not what we're looking for. I've actually had to learn the hard way that after working with Southern Haunts Part 2, that when I start receiving stories that automatically go against the guidelines, to just simply go in and reject it. Because if you kind of work around it and say, okay, well, I can work with this person, we can mold it together, sometimes it'll turn out good. Other times it can just be a headache, and I completely agree with you with guidelines, and that's one reason why I enjoy working with you, because you do read the guidelines. You do stay true to what we're looking for. And for an editor,
it's the mark of a professional writer that they should research the editor's name, find out who's actually in charge of the magazine or the anthology or whatever, the publisher, and address that person and be professional in your feedback and in your correspondence with the editor. Editors have a hard job. When I was an editor, I would read something. If I couldn't get past the first three paragraphs, I really didn't have time to continue on. I would send them a nice note and just move on, because you really don't have a lot of time as an editor.
And that's completely true, because when you are facing an anthology, and I know you know exactly what I'm speaking of here, everything is very tight with the timeline. And when we receive a story such as the way you present your stories, it makes our job so much easier, because when I receive your work, I can see that this is a person who honored the guidelines. And they also did an edit before they sent it to the editors, which that's highly appreciated, because it makes our job much easier versus simply writing a story and saying, oh, here it is, and there's like about 100 problems with it, like how I have received before. But, yeah, I am extremely happy to have you back for Part 2 and see that you have entered in for Part 3 as well.
Well, I'd like to put in a little plug for Clockwork Spells and Magical Bells, which was the Magicopter anthology that came out a couple of years ago. It's still available, and it does have a lot of good work by a lot of people in a Magicopter. I would suggest that anybody who wants to check out Magic versus Steampunk, or Magic versus Machine in Steampunk, to take a look at that. It's a great book.
And that book's pretty young adult friendly as well. I've had parents buy that book for their 13 and 14-year-olds and say that they absolutely loved it.
It is very young adult friendly. There's no nastiness in it at all. And the whole idea was that it should be a kind of thing that anybody from 8 years old to 80 could pick up and enjoy.
Yes. And the thing is about Clockwork Spells and Magical Bells, it's at a good length. So if you do buy it for an 8-year-old, it's not at an intimidating length like how maybe Harry Potter Part 7 is.
No, it's not. It's a beautiful. It's like 15 stories, and it's got artwork and everything, too. So it's a really good, really good outfit that would, I think it would enchant any child that picked it up.
Yes, I completely agree. It's full of adventure, mystery, suspense, everything that makes a good classic what it is.
Yep.
David, I've got a couple of questions for you. Number one, as an author who is just about to finish a series and is about halfway through another, what's it like to do the wrap-up novel to complete your series?
Well, it's an immense relief. the Thran Chronicles was originally written as a 6-book series, and that had a little over 1 million words. And I was so glad to get rid of that that when I was asked to rewrite it, I just about broke down and cried. But, yeah, it's an immense relief to get the series done with, and I'm hoping that the series has been wrapped up in such a way as to be satisfying to the reader. I hate for the reader to walk away from it feeling that they've been cheated. I really am uncomfortable writing series because when you're committed to a multiple book contract, things you don't want to walk away from it and leave your reader hanging, or you don't want to pass away, a la Robert Jordan, while you're trying to finish it up. So,
right.
And at my age, that is quite a possibility. So what we try to do is get it done and out of the way. I don't think I'll be writing any more series, but there's quite a few more books left in me. It's my goal to write 2 books a year until I die, and then 1 book a year thereafter.
Wow. Wow.
Well, if they'll rock,
and this is why you rock. Well, Oh, I'm sorry, go.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, I'm glad to know that after we receive the 2 books per year, I'm glad to know at least we'll continue having 1 book per year after that, because your words, they just fit together so well, and the pictures that they paint, they're so visual. And it's really a treat to anybody who picks up one of your books or an anthology that your work is featured in.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to give a shout-out to Sharon and Chris. I appreciate their reviews in the past, and I hope that they enjoy the books as they continue to come out.
And let's see. I was just looking over some of your books on Amazon, and I see that you do have quite a few great ratings on each of the titles that you're associated with. Let me ask you this. Out of the projects that you have been associated with, anthologies, novels, series that you might have done yourself, what do you feel was one of the most difficult projects for you to work on?
The most difficult project for you to work on?
Yeah, and how were you able to get through it to keep going until you finished it?
Well, the Angel Killer books were the toughest so far.
Okay.
Mainly because of how close they were to home, how difficult they were to put into words and try to keep going knowing what was going to happen at the end made it kind of tough. But there's only one way that kind of thing can end, and I'm hoping that what happens at the end of Doom Angel doesn't bum too many people out when they see it.
Great.
The whole idea that the Thran Chronicles ended badly because they had to. The Angel Killer Triad ends bittersweet because that's the way it has to end. And if I ever do another novel, maybe it'll have a happy ending. I don't know. But I'm sure you're oriental when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, we'll have to leave the audience in a little bit of suspense here, David, because we're going to have our second guest of the evening join us. Very excited because I actually met our next guest at Con Carolinas, and she's wonderful from the book blogosphere, and got a great site called I Smell Sheep. Of course, the fan base of the site is known as The Flock, and they've got a great mascot named Bart, which I love to pronounce it like that, who actually was guest starred in a video blog I did for her. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome Sharon Stogner from I Smell Sheep to the Star Chamber Show. How are you doing, Sharon?
I'm doing great.
Great to have you. And yeah, we all want to get you into the mix here. And first of all, kick it off by telling us a little bit about I Smell Sheep, just to get our audience a little bit of history with the blog.
Well, we are kind of a multimedia site. We review books, movies, and comic books, and anything speculative fiction.
Very cool. And about how long has the site been active, like in terms of length?
It's been around, I think, for 4 years. I've been there for almost three. It's Katie Dalton, who's the creator. It was her site, just a little site she created, and then about a year later, I started talking with her, and she invited me on, and I've been there ever since.
Very cool. And the mascot, of course, I've got to ask you about that real quick. How did Bart come around?
He was there when I got there. I Smell Sheep is actually an inside joke between Katie and her brother. I'm not allowed to say. It was 2 years before she told me where the name came from, but it's a big secret. And we had somebody, his name was Richard, and he created the logo for us and our banner, and we've kept it ever since.
See, now I really hate to hear that it's an inside joke, because I was really hoping you were going to be able to tell us where that name came from.
I know. We're all pointing now.
I know. It works for us and it works against us because, we review things, and what you want to do is have your blurb put on somebody's book cover or in the back, and not many people want to put I Smell Sheep as who reviewed it. But on the other hand,
I totally would.
When people see our logo,
I totally would, yeah.
They never forget it, and so it's branding.
Yeah, that is definitely an attention getter. I have to give you that one because I love it. It just makes me laugh every time I see it.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group for I Smell Sheep, and I mean, they are great. We're really active, and everybody's always coming up with sheep pictures they find all over the internet. And
that's great.
Items. It's fun.
Awesome.
All right, well, let's see. About as far as the group goes, I guess we'll start with the easy questions. What kind of books do you actually review?
Anything speculative fiction. My partner, Katie, she prefers paranormal romance. That's her favorite. I like dark urban fantasy, borderline horror.
Yay!
I'm a big yay. And I do some. I do fantasy. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody to do science fiction right now, and we're always looking for somebody who is willing to do reviews for us because we get lots of offers and lots of books from publishers in science fiction, and I just can't get to them. But the comic books, I love the comic books. We we get comics from Image Comics and Dark Horse, which is my favorite, and I adore doing that.
Yeah, I saw on this site that you like Dark Horse. I'm a Dark Horse fan as well, so I like Dark Horse and IDW. Those are my two. So awesome.
Yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of cool stuff coming out.
They do. It's exciting.
I've been a fan of Dark Horse since they merged my two favorite series, Alien and Predator. So.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of the. I hadn't read those. I like Criminal Macabre, and I like a lot of their offbeats. And there's some small, I can give them a plug. There's some small press comics that are fabulous. Action Lab Entertainment has a mature line called Danger Zone, and they have some really cool comics, and they're intelligent and funny, and they have a horror element, and they're really good. We've reviewed a bunch of their stuff.
Nice.
And I would like to personally thank Sharon for continuing to spread the word of our Lord and Savior Cthulhu.
I have my foot in so many genres, and I know people in every aspect of the industry, and so I run across all sorts of stuff, and I just shuffle information all over the internet.
Awesome.
Usually if I get on the internet in the morning and I see that I'm tagged in something, I know that it's something Cthulhu from Sharon.
Yeah. You know, they're just like me. Everybody in the world tags me on anything sheep.
Let's see. I'm on your website, I Smell Sheep, and I see that you guys do quite a bit of contest on there. Could you tell us how the contest works?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, we do a lot.
Okay. Let's say, for example, someone just stumbled across your site and they want to join a contest. Is it open to everyone?
Yeah, it's open to anybody who wants to. Usually you have to comment, and you get extra points if you follow us in some way. But we do a lot of book tours, and the authors are always, offering prizes and things like that. And you can enter anonymously. Usually there's a raffle copter. And if you have a Facebook account, you can just, plug it in and go. And you could be anonymous, or you can, if you're on Google Plus, you can comment. It's anybody and everybody.
Now I'm looking here, too. And
sorry?
I just wanted to bring up, you're starting an editing service for authors as well, aren't you? The Devil in the Details. Do you want to talk a little bit about that while we have some time left?
I have been doing beta for authors for over 2 years, and I have an eye for content and line editing, and everybody's telling me, you need to do this, and get paid for it. So I finally decided I'd try it, and I started Devil in the Details Editing, and I have a website, devilinthedetailsediting.blogspot.com, and I just kind of started a couple of weeks ago. I've had 2 jobs now. Mainly it's the people I did beta for, and they're willing to now pay for my services, so I, that's a good thing. So I just waiting for people to offer.
Awesome. That is, I think people don't realize how important editing is for, any authors, but especially indie authors. Like, you just can't put the book together and go. You definitely, editing helps a lot.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And another thing self-published authors don't realize is that when a blogger says the editing, it needs better editing, we're not talking copy editing. We're not talking you need cross T's and dot your I's. We're talking word choice, the flow of the book. Character development, is it in the right order, slow parts, fast parts, the whole editing process. And there's like 5 different editors that a book goes through in a publishing house. And self-pubs need to do that too.
Yeah, definitely.
What are some of the favorite books that you've reviewed over the last year?
Oh, gosh, I hate it when people ask me that. I read, and I'm in the book while I'm reading, and then when I'm done, I am done. I've moved on. And people ask me, what did you like that you've read? And I have a blank. But, okay, and plug one, her name is Donna Augustine. She's a self-pubbed author. She has the Alchemy series, and the first one is called The Keepers. And I reviewed it. It's on my website. And it just blew me away because it's, I think I said if I could write a book, because you're supposed to write a book that you would want to read, if I could write a book, this would be the book I'd write. I just like the way she did her world building. It's a tight prose, and it's just everything I like. And then Linda Poitevin, which is a Canadian author, she has a dark urban fantasy, and it goes so dark. There is no happy anywhere in this series, called the Grigori series, and Sins of the Angels is book one, and it's actually on sale right now. But those are two that I really like this year.
Well, I'm sorry.
And then, of course,
you didn't like
all the the big names like Sarah Ward and Kim Harrison, all the big ones.
I'm sorry I asked a question that you hated, because I know that you are a black belt in Taekwondo and could do me serious harm. So.
Yeah, just a second degree, though.
So what all was involved in that? I know that takes a lot of discipline.
We started, 5 years ago? My youngest, I think she was 5, wanted to start, and they encouraged the family to do it, too. So our whole family, it's me, my husband, and I have 2 girls, and so we all did it together, and we all got our first degree belts. And then my oldest dropped out. She didn't want to do it anymore. And then me, Holly, and Dawn, we got our second degrees. And then I've kind of stopped because I'm doing so much of editing and book reviewing now. But my husband went and got his third degree recently. So
that's
cool. Let me ask you
I've been going for about 2 years. Now the school that I go to started out doing mostly, like what I do is mostly like women's self-defense, but it's more of like the practical, and we do a lot of like the black belt stuff and things like that, but awesome. You have a hell of a commitment to do that, and it's great.
Yeah,
I applaud you and your family for doing that.
I think it was Mysticon last year. I taught a women's self-defense course at the convention.
That's awesome.
So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I love doing it. I love it.
Editing.
So much fun.
Well, anyone who's read my stuff knows that I love women who kick ass, so I think that's great.
Yeah. I sidekick solar plexus, and they're done.
Yep.
Now,
I know a lot of
pressure
points.
With your editing, there's a lot of authors out there that are new. Ones that might not be exposed to the field that we are as of yet, they're wondering, okay, I've written my novel, where do I go from here? For those people who are looking for editorial services and they are in debation about who to go with, what are some ways that you can point out an editor that you can trust versus an editor not to trust?
That's a tough one. It's a lot of live and learn on that one. Word of mouth, you talk to people. You can contact your favorite authors and ask them. And they usually know people who will do editing that, are friends of theirs who don't charge a whole lot. But it's got to be, you got to be in a group with your peers and people talk about who they use and do it that way. Unfortunately, I got to get into those circles. Most of my people I've done editing for are in the traditional publishing. So the self-pubs don't know me, so I've got to get my name out there for them. But it's a live and learn type thing, unfortunately.
It is. It truly is. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say, I'm really glad to be able to speak with someone who is out there who's willing to guide the author with them in an editorial adventure, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's
so many editors. They'll hold your hand through the whole process, but it's expensive. But I actually on my website have a page with all sorts of links to helpful links for, new authors and things like that.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was my question, really, was how to differentiate the difference between editors who really are trying to help you versus editors who just simply want your money and that's it. And because,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you do have to watch out for that, and especially, as you
yeah.
said, if the person is reputable, even if they are just starting like how you are, if they have a good reputation from at least just two other authors, I mean, that's a...
Yeah, I have a page. I've got, like, 7 or 8 authors. I even, Scott Nicholson, I don't know if you guys know Scott Nicholson. He's a North Carolina author, big thriller author, mm-hmm. but... yeah, he gave me an endorsement, and I got a couple of people, so
awesome.
That's the best I can
awesome.
Do for now.
Awesome. Now, I have a personality question for you, Sharon, so you need to concentrate, okay? All right.
Okay.
Up. All right, if you had to choose, Kaname or Zero?
If I had to choose what?
If you had to choose, I saw you like Vampire Knight, and I'm also a Vampire Knight fangirl, so I'm making you pick. Kaname or Zero?
Okay. Oh. Zero.
Oh,
I love the white hair. I love the hero,
yeah.
the fantasy hero with the
yeah.
white long hair. I'm actually a Faye fan. I got a little obsession with Optimus Prime, too, but we won't talk about that. But
is the manga actually still going, or is I think I dropped out after about a couple. I don't remember what volume I stopped reading on, but is it still going, or did it finally
actually,
end?
Actually, yeah, I think it's going, yeah. I read it because my daughter had it. She's the one who got me
yeah.
into it. And yeah, I've moved more into the comics, you know, like the Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Have you tried, Godchild is pretty good, too. It's manga, but it's fairly dark. Like, you would like it. It's called shoujo, but it's more of a dark, really gothic. And it's part of, like, a larger arc. You can actually read the 8 volumes of Godchild, and it's sort of its own self-proclaimed thing.
Oh,
that's
Godchild,
really
yes. My daughter,
yeah.
my teenager has all those. I read them.
Oh, nice, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
But I'm used to the strange questions because our interviews on my site are a little out of the box from normal interviews.
Right.
So,
Stephen, cool.
though.
No, I very rarely find anyone who, like, reads the same titles that I do, like, to actually talk with the voice. So it just pleases me a lot.
Well, that's our site. On my site, I Smell Sheep, we're kind of like, it's mainly women on it because there's a lot of paranormal romance, but we're geeks, we're nerds.
I love
who
it.
Who happen to like romance, too, and we got a lot of the nerd culture going on. So
that's awesome. It's my people.
Yeah.
That's why I tend to, like, I like the darker shoujo because you do get, I mean, you get a lot of the, or some of the romance, but you also, I mean, they do, I have to give it to the writers, like, they really do have great plots and a lot of plot twists, and it's really dark and angsty, so it's really compared to some of the stuff that's over here.
Yeah, I like the angsty stuff. Lots of killing. Lots of killing.
Nice.
I like blow-em-up movies, too.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yay, blow-em-up. That's right. Cheesy, blow them up, yeah. But oh, is anybody going to the conventions next year, Mr. Con or Con Carolina? I don't know, Stephen, you're going to be at Con Carolina, right?
Yes, I'm a guest there for sure.
See, I'm still waiting to hear from them, so I don't know. I'm still waiting to hear from them,
yeah.
and so I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, I know I'll
I
be there,
my,
too, so... Hopefully I'm being picked up this time. My headset's been acting up.
Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately,
know,
I'm going to miss Mysticon, because Mysticon is fantastic, but the only thing is it conflicts directly with Conuga, which I'd been going to since before Mysticon.
Never.
So, unfortunately, just that's, you know, that's just one of those things I can't make work.
I know. I didn't see you at all last year. It was quite disappointing.
Yeah, I had a rough year. But I'm back. I'm back in 14. Don't worry, I'll be back.
Well, you know, I have a pack of cheer wine that I have that I'm saving for you. So
wonderful, because I'm down to like four cans from the supply that Susan had sent to me via Crimson Heart.
Nice.
I'm running low. But, yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing everybody again on the convention circuit.
Yeah.
I really missed that this past year.
Yeah.
What? It's amazing how you get so, you know, used to going from one con to another, and then when you get this lull, you know, between when the convention
begins. I know. You're like, what do I do with my life?
Yeah, I know. It's like I actually have to stay at home.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe finish a book. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I've got many. I've got to read. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 paper books just sitting on my desk I got to read.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Do you mainly review off of electronic books, or do you like the?
I do both. I do both. If an author sends me a print book, I'll give it away with the review, unless it's something I really like, then I'll hoard it. But but yeah, I love my Kindle. Oh my God! And matter of fact, my Kindle came from Steven because I won it one of his my Paperwhite.
That's right. That's right. You won Field of Fire 1, I think. I think so. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, it's my precious.
Awesome.
We've come full circle. We started talking about the Hobbit, and now we're back.
My precious, exactly. Exactly. I meant for that to happen.
It was all planned.
That's right.
Well, do you have any upcoming events that you would like to plug for I Saw Sheep?
Well, right now we have I did at the end of the year I do a feedback survey to ask, you know, all our readers, what do you think of what we've done this year? Do we need to do more of this, less of that? So that's going on right now, and there's some really cool prizes if you'll fill out the survey. And basically, I'm going to find out what swag readers prefer. And right now, it's looking like they prefer pens and notebooks and things that are useful as opposed to the bookmarks. And then, let's see. But nothing special coming up. We just do lots of cool stuff. So I got a new feature called Arts and Crafts with Authors. And if an author does something else besides writing, like, you know, does a craft or something, they could do a tutorial and then they give it away. And we had the coolest one that was done recently with a felting wolf. And it was so cool.
Well, why don't you tell people where they can find your site?
ispellsheep.com. And I'm everywhere. I'm on every media site.
And what about you?
You can follow
us. What's the URL for your editing site for Devil in the Details?
Okay, that is devilinthedetailsediting.blogspot.com. And the blogspot will drop as soon as I'm able to transfer over the domain I bought. But,
sweet.
Yeah. But you can go to the I Smell Sheep site and my button's there. I got my little cute monster button. My little devil is a little monster, and you can click there and get to it.
Awesome.
Nice.
And
I'm
David,
very good,
if you're still with us. Yeah.
Sure.
And David, if you're still with us, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Facebook and also at Thran Keep, THRANKeep.com, and pretty much everywhere online. If you Google my name, you'll find several pages.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
What?
Yeah, thank you very much. And
And just giving a little preview for next week, we will have a show, a Christmas show, and it's going to be a special one. We have John F. Allen, the man behind the God Killers, great new urban fantasy kickoff to a great new urban fantasy series, and all the way from Australia, we are going to have Jessica Leigh of Jess Resides Here, and I know that everybody is ecstatic about that. So our book blog guest will be Jessica Leigh, and our author guest will be John F. Allen. And so thank you, Sharon and David, and thank you very much for joining us in the Star Chamber Show. And good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Night. Night.